And the microphone is on. If you think it's very crowded and packed down here, I think there's space up there and there and some space over there too. Anyway, this session is about modeling and maintaining virtualized service in Microsoft System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2012. If we just add a couple of words to that, it's impossible to type on the screen. My name is Michael Nystrom, but everybody calls me Mike, and I work for a company called Trusec. And I do live in Sweden. I've seen my office 7 times this year from the outside. Last time I checked, I did have a desk, but I didn't have a chair. I work around the globe as a trainer, as a speaker, as a consultant, which means that I still work for my money. And I still try to con and insult customers the best I can, which is the word for consultant. I'm also an MVP in setup and deployment, and an MCT, and I'm a proud member of something called STEP, which is Springboard Technical Expert Panel. What I do is always deployment, virtualization, and system management in different shapes and different variation in different sizes of different companies. So I do both client and server deployment. I focus on server deployment. And by that, virtualization is a natural thing to do. And if you do have any questions, you can, of course, wait until the end to have a private chat with me, or you can just ask. That works for me too. So the purpose of this session is very easy. It's to try to explain how the services in Virtual Machine Manager works and how you can use them and how you can use them to together with private clouds and things like that. This product is still in development, which means this is the public beta version I'm going to do demos on. It has only blow up like 2 or 4 times per day so far. Otherwise, it's very stable if you don't touch it. But it's a beta version, so most likely some of the demos will blow up. If they work, you know, just happens from time to time, I'm going to buy a lottery ticket in that case. System Center Virtual Machine Manager has gone through a couple of steps. Anybody familiar with a product called Operation Manager? You remember MOM 2000? Oh my God. Well, it could be used for different reasons. I did a deployment, I did a couple of deployments, both on Operation Manager 2000 and MOM 2005. And at that time, people were asking me, is it possible to monitor a service? And the answer was, not really. You can monitor multiple machines, and then you can make a calculated guess. If both of them are dead, most likely the service doesn't work. They improve that. Now Operation Manager 2007 is, you know, becoming better and better. And this is the journey System Center Virtual Machine Manager has just started. It used to be, here's the application where you can stop, start, move, and create your machines. Questions? I mean, you could do a demo in 1 hour, and that was the complete training on the product, too. I mean, it wasn't that advanced. Now they added things. They added high availability support. They added perform better things around PowerShell, around deployment. Now we can deploy servers, physical servers from in the Virtual Machine Manager console. It has support for patch management. It can claim its own Pixie server and use that. So there's a bunch of things around deploying host machines. And then we suddenly implemented a new word called fabric. It's fantastic. Fabric is stuff. It's very easy. It's things like networks and VHD. We used to call it just the library, but well, now it's other things too. Then we have the cloud management. Of course, we need the word cloud in any product nowadays, otherwise you can't sell it, which means that we have cloud. But on the other hand, cloud really works. It works internally for us. We have a bunch of instructors. And we used to have the, could I have a couple of VMs? And I got pretty bored and tired of that. So instead of having a couple of VMs, I created a VLAN for every instructor. And now we have a private cloud. They go into a portal, they build whatever they need to build, and the usage of our hardware and servers has increased from nothing to 110% or something like that. So we need to buy new hardware to keep up the way they're building labs. But that's the purpose. We want them to use what we have bought. And then we have the service management, of course, which is also new things, like service templates and application deployment. And now we can build things around a VHD file and say, here's the VHD file, and here's the application, and here's the database, and I want this to be deployed as a package. And I want to modify that package, and then I can do service on the package with service windows and stuff like that. Which is pretty convenient, of course. So services is actually, I would say, two things. The one is the template, which is the starting point for everything. It feels kind of awkward when you start doing this. Has anybody played with this? Download the beta version and things like that? No one? A couple of them? Have you downloaded the pet shop things you can download? Okay, so I'm going to show that later on. But for anybody who wants to play with this, and don't have a dedicated developer that you can shout at to make applications, you can download a package of apps, databases, VHD, so you can actually build this and try this without having a friend that can write code. I, for instance, are one of the lousiest program developer ever. I can't write code at all. I can do HTML if I can... if I'm allowed to Google first. Oh, sorry, Bing first. I need to Bing here. Anybody try Bing? Anyway, the template is where you create things, and the instance is actually what is then running. And we in that, we have web deploy packages, and we have virtual applications. Now, there are some discussions around this and say, you know, is server app Vs the same thing as app V for Windows 7? Well, it spells pretty much the same, but then it ends. It's also, can I take a Windows server and then install the AppV server client and then install Active Directory and have Active Directory as the bubble? No, not really. That was not the intention. This is the intention of doing with web applications and databases and database applications. Things like Active Directory is part of the infrastructure, and that is maintained differently. It can be maintained in services, but you do it pretty much differently. So the purpose of using services is that you can create multi-tier applications across multiple services, but treat it as one thing, and then you can move around it and do whatever you like with it. You can export it, you can import it, so you can have a test environment where you build everything and you verify that it works. Then you can export the configuration into the production system and just deploy. And, you know, magically works almost every time, because there's a couple of things that isn't that nice. If you do test it first and you do an export and import, then it works. You can easily scale out because a service is by itself has a scale out function. You just define and say how many database databases do we need in this application? How many middle-tier application servers do we need, and how many web front-end servers do we need? You just increase the number and say, scale out. And it will do that automatically. Naming servers, joining them to domain, hooking up with applications and stuff like that. So, I like the word life cycle. So service life cycle is very simple. You start by creating your template, okay? Then you customize deployment and tell it how to deploy. And then you deploy the service. And then, here's the nice thing. Somebody says that, you know, this application doesn't really work with this amount of memory. We need to go into all the virtual machines and increase memory. Or we need to add another component that we missed. Darn, we should have added bits, or we need a feature, I don't know, .NET Framework 3.51, whatever, something needs to be done. Well, we have already deployed this application, and it works kind of, but that function doesn't work. What I can do now is to say, well, I create a copy of that template and use that template as an update. Then I apply the update, and it calculates the difference between my original template and the things I put in the new one. And it performs that action, which means that if it's a service missing, it's going to add a service without killing the machines. If it's a, you know, you need to increase memory, guess what? It's going to turn off the machines and then add memory and then fire them up again. Of course, we need to modify memory in the machines. But we can do this pretty easily by always referring to our template. Now, there are, of course, issues. Like, if you create your template with the name stuff, then the upgrade template also needs to be named as stuff. You just increase the version number within it. See, if you have a real bad naming from the beginning, you will keep to have a really bad naming forever. Which means that when you play, it doesn't matter, but when you really do this in production, naming is going to be very important. Otherwise, you have no clue. We have a service called Stuff. Is that important? Yeah. That's the business system. Don't turn off Stuff. What's Stuff? What is Stuff doing? I don't know. It's just important to turn it off. Please. So, the template is a starting point, and we have a new service designer, which is pretty easy to work with. We define everything in that machine that we have in the either library or in Fabrics, and then we just modify it in the way we would like this to be. So, in this case, you can see this is three-tier system. Everything is connected to the same network, the global network called Redmond. I guess that's in the United States somewhere. Three network adapters. We have a SQL server, we have a mid-tier with applications, and we have a web. And down here you can say this machine tier can be scaled out. And we had defined that the maximum instance count is 10 and the minimum instance count is 1. Which means that if I deploy this, it's going to be one of each of these machines, because this is three machines. But then I can add 9. I can't add 9 more than 9, because this is limited to 9. However, I can, of course, change this template and say, hey, it's fine to go up to 50, I don't care. We have a ribbon and blah, blah, blah. You're going to see this. I'm going to do a demo on that anyway. So we have the capability, of course, to do single-tier services too, which is pretty easy. A single tier is just one machine with a bunch of configuration. And even if you don't use that in production, I use that to verify that everything is configured correctly. I don't really deploy a solution with 45 servers, wait 14 hours to realize that I missed one command line. It just blows up. So I try each and every service type as a single tier service. But you can use this instead of having just a VM. There's a difference between a VM and a service. If I package a VM in a service, then it's manageable as a service. Otherwise, it's just a VM, and you need to configure everything in the VM manually. Also, as soon as you have it as a service, it will do other things that normally doesn't apply. Things like adding roles and adding features, which we can have in the templates. We can't use those if we have just a VM. I guess you are pretty familiar with that, because that's what we have in System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2008R2. VHDs, VM templates, which consist of hardware profiles and guest OS profiles. You don't really need to have guest OS profiles and hardware profiles. You can just have a VHD and create a template on that. In this, we also have computer tier, service templates, application profile, application deployment, custom actions, roles and features, SQL profiles, SQL deployment settings, load balancer templates, application host profiles, application profile, SQL DAC deployment, settings. If we go back, it's pretty much more. So now we need to take care of all these. Do I really need to create all these? No, you can actually just fire up the designer and create a service template and add everything in real time. Just by, you know, and add that, and I want to add that. I'm going to show you that. I don't really like that method, because if you create a really nice web server or a web application with a bunch of settings, and you would like to reuse that in another service, well, then you need to redo everything, because it's inside there. If you create it as profiles, then you can use these, consume these in other services. And what you do is that you prepare the template, specify OS settings. I'm going to show you that anyway. There are a bunch of settings, though, per service. So when you deploy this, it's going to do the tier-based or deployment order. It creates new VM from a template, power on, wait for the VM. It's going to install in something called a VMM guest agent. That is something we didn't have before. We didn't have any guest VMs or a guest component, a guest agent. That is new for System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2012. This is the little agent inside the guest OS that Virtual Machine Manager communicates with and say, you know, we're going to modify this, I'm going to add that, I'm going to run this, I'm going to do things on your machine. Well, application profile, we have a pre-install. We have application pre-installed. So for every application you add, you can say, before you run this application, run this whatever script, batch file, if you like. After you install the application, please do this. Before we even start, run this global script. And when we're done, run this global script again, another script maybe. I'm going to show you that too. So you can extend this in many ways. And it's pretty easy to extend. The only issue I have so far is that when you do extend these, it's like, run this executable with these parameters. Is there a verify button? Can I check these settings? What happens if they are wrong? Well, it depends. For instance, in the demo application that Microsoft has, there are a bunch of settings called script that is ordinary batch files, nothing fancy at all, right? they start cmd.exe as the executable application. And on the next line, you're supposed to type in the silent command for that. So if you do that, it doesn't work, because you need to add a space before. And if you do that, you get an error saying the code exited with success code 0. And as far as I know, exit code 0 is a good exit code. By default, that is a warning. So when it blows up, it doesn't tell you anything, but when it works, it gives you a warning. You can change that, but I'd like to keep that, because that's pretty much the only verification I know to see if the code works. So when it warns me about failure, it works. I've been working in this industry too many years, obviously. So, demo time. Thank God. 1, 2, 3, 4, flip. Okay, so let's just, you know, create something really, really simple. Let's see what we have. And if you wonder what kind of data center I run this on, it's right here on my laptop. I don't trust clouds. Trust my own clouds, not the other ones. It's too far away. So in the library we have what? We have, of course, a bunch of VHDs. We have VHD files. We have a VHD that is as SQL Server included, as a sysprep SQL Server installation. Here's the Windows Server 2008 R2 Enterprise Evaluation VHD file. When you start playing with this, you're going to realize that you really need to create VHD files. And there are many ways to do that, to create reference images. The easiest way to create a VHD file is an application called WIM2VHD, because that takes about 2.5 minutes to have a reference image. Otherwise, you need to install it, sysprep, and capture it. And using WIM2VHD is not that hard, so I would suggest you use that application. If I have time, I can show you that later on. I have all this stuff in here. I also, of course, configure this. So I do have a hardware profile, and I have a guest operating system profile. And the first thing I need to do is create a template. And I can either create guest OS hardware profile and combine them into a VM template, or I can just create the template from the beginning. So let's do that. So I'm going to pick a VHD file. What about the whatever server? Windows Server 2008 R2. Next. Call it demo, of course. What else? If I do have a hardware profile, I can pick it here. If you are very new to System Center Virtual Machine Manager, you should be aware of that the default setting are as slow and as bad as possible. If you think that next is going to give you something really good performance-wise, you're wrong, because it's not that way. There's a couple of things that you should fix on each and every machine. Number one, cloud capability. You need to define on what platform this can run if it runs in a cloud. Number two, processor. Here's a setting called allow migration to virtual machine host with a different processor version. You don't really need to check that. You will discover about 6 months from now that you were stupid that didn't check this, because now you're buying new hardware and you can't move the machine because they have another revision of the CPU. So I always check that. Yes, I will lose some of the unique processor feature that we have in each and every processor revision that nobody knows about anyway. So, I don't really care. Memory, maybe you should switch over to use dynamic memory, whatever you do, 512 megabytes for running a Windows Server 2008 R2 is not really enough. Here's what it actually needs, but it's just a demo. We don't care about those settings. Here's another thing. Hyper-V has the capability of hot add, remove hardware, hard drives especially, but only on the SCSI interface, which they don't include in the original template. So here we go. Add a SCSI adapter. It doesn't cost you anything. It comes with a warranty. If it's broken, you can email to Microsoft to get a new one. Just have one, because if you have one, you can add a hard drive at a later time. You never know if you need one. Network adapter is, of course, the legacy network adapter. Very nice. Very not so fast and pixie. And throw it away and get a real adapter called network adapter. And you need to connect that to a network too. Here are other new settings for System Center Virtual Machine Manager, like I would like this to pick an IP address and be on that VLAN, for instance. Or I would like to enable a virtual network optimization, which is VMQ, virtual machine queues, for instance. And then we have the MAC address, and this is another thing that this is a bad thing in 2008 R2. Everything is dynamic, which means that every MAC address is dynamic. What's the problem with dynamic MAC addresses? Anybody know that? Sorry? Yeah, migration is one problem. The problem is that when you do dynamic MAC addresses, it's not System Center Virtual Machine Manager that assigns the MAC address. It's the Hyper-V host that gives the MAC address. And every Hyper-V machine has its own range, and they can overlap, which means that potentially, suddenly, you have multiple machines having the same MAC address on the same network. And trust me, you don't get a warning in the operating system say, duplicate MAC address found on the network. That mechanism doesn't exist. You just have a issue, at least. So in 2012, we can do like that. That means I would like to have a static MAC address. But it's going to be assigned from System Center Virtual Machine Manager's MAC address pool, which is pretty convenient. The rest of the stuff is not important. Next. Operating system is another fun thing. You have all these things, but here's one of the most important things. You need to pick the right operating system. Because depending on what operating system you pick, the rest of the dialog boxes will be different. People tend to miss that. But I created a template, I can't deploy it. So why is that? Well, if I pick a Windows 7 and go to, here it is. Here, I need to define a username and a password because I'm deploying Windows 7. And the only name you can't use is administrator. The default name that says administrator cannot be used. If I pick a server, like a 64-bit version of it instead, well, it doesn't ask me for the username anymore. So when you create those templates, please pick the right operating system first, because the other dialog boxes will follow based on the operating system. Otherwise, you're going to be in a kind of a mess. Identity information is not important. Password is. And there's two ways of doing this. Either you actually just hammer in the password in the machine, but you can also use a run as profile. Run as profiles is also a new thing in System Center Virtual Machine Manager, which is pretty nice. Time zone has nothing to do with keyboard layout and things, just the time zone. And here you have roles and features. And it says, well, it doesn't work if you don't have a Windows Server 2000 ER2 or above. And here we can add like .NET framework. We can add a feature like important features. Like like the Telnet client, for instance. One of the most important components we can have. We can also join this to a domain, and here we can also use the select run as profile, but in this case, I'm gonna do this. Corp that. That. And you should never, ever use this account. What you should do is that you should create something called a join account, an account that is a user but has the ability to join the machines in the organization unit you specify. And to make machines pop up in the correct organization unit, you also need to provide an unattended file that specifies machine object, the OU. Otherwise, they're going to end up in computer if you don't modify that in Active Directory 2. Like that. And you can, of course, have an answer file. And here's another reason why it's so important that you pick the right operating system. If you pick a 2003 server, you can't really add unattended XML files. It's going to be SIF files. But when it's a 2008 R2, well, then it works. Oh, God. And now you tell me. Happy now? Thank you. Here we have create application. We're going to come back to this later on, but here I can specify applications. And here I can specify SQL Server deployment, and now I have a really nice template. Hopefully. Oh, there it is, demo. Let's deploy this. Create virtual machine. And I can't do that. Why is that? Well, I picked features and roles. And when I pick features and roles, I need to create a service. Otherwise, I can't deploy this. Well, I can deploy it without the roles and features because they will be ignored, but I'm not going to do that. Instead, let's create a service template. And here is very simple. It's kind of awkward. You should give it a name. It doesn't require you to do that, which means that everybody will be called, you know, new service template one, new service template two. And as I told you before, if you then start renaming them, the connection between version doesn't work anymore. So it's pretty important that you have the name that this service template will have and continue to have. Now that was the advanced stuff. Now is the easy stuff. You bring it in here. I can show you again, but I think you got the picture. Now you can set things down here like IP addresses and things like that. And as you can see, this is a beta version, so it doesn't really pop up the way it should do. Well, if I do this, it does. Sorry. There you go. You can define an IP address and things like that, if you want to do that. Well, now you can save this. You can also pick up the service template properties, which gives you, guess what? All the service settings, dependencies, custom properties, and in dependencies, you can see we are very dependent on that VHD file. We can also click on the server and select properties, and then we have the hardware configuration, the OS configuration, which we can modify. So the template you have doesn't need to be perfect. It can be a rough template with all the important settings, and then you use it, and then you modify it within the service itself. So we've done all we want to do, and we can save this. And then we can configure deployment from within here, or if we close this one, you're going to see that you have a service template called demo service template. I can also right-click here and say deploy, so I don't need to do it in here. If I do it in here, though, it looks like this. Configure deployment. Select the name and destination for the new service. Well, this is the demo service, and the destination is all hosts or to a cloud. So if you have specified and configured System Center Virtual Machine Manager for cloud, then you can either say, you know, I want to deploy this on a couple of these hosts or this group of hosts, or I want to deploy this in a cloud. Doesn't really matter. It's a demo service. And now it's ready for deployment. Is it? Whines about something. Sorry. It consists of the following things. It has a name called whatever. If I move that a bit, we can see. This, view all properties, and then we can see it has been giving a name. Since I didn't have a name on my machine, it's going to pick a name. Based on my service name, it's going to be service VM 0001, and here's the network connection it has, and the drive it's going to have, and the location it's going to be in. And I think that's going to be good enough. Are you ready to deploy? Yes, I am. If we go to jobs, pretty much working right now. And it's going to do a standard deployment, nothing fancy at all, except for the fact that when the machine has been deployed, it's going to make sure that the agent is installed, and when the agent is installed, it's going to add my roles and features that I added in the service template. Now, we can ignore this for a while we'll switch back. Any question on this? Very easy, right? Not that hard. Sorry. DNS aliases. Okay, so the question is, would it put in DNS aliases on the DNS server? The answer is no. It has nothing to do with the infrastructure around. That is something you need to take care of on your own, which can be done, of course, by running PowerShell scripts behind that does everything. I mean, this is the GUI style, right? You do GUI style for, 6 months, then you get really tired of everything, and then you switch into PowerShell, and it's like, I'm going to build a service. Done. So in that case, with PowerShell, yes, you can, but it doesn't have any kind of features to affect other services that is not a part of the domain in that way. It can be done with scripts with inside a machine, of course, but otherwise, no such features. Flip. 1, 2, 3, 4, flip. So we deploy this machine or this service. Then we do have an update process, because this happens. It happens all the time. Someone told me that, you forget to put in the SCSI adapter into the machines. Yeah, sorry about that. And you also had a wrong network adapter. You did deploy them with legacy. Can you change that? Mm-hmm. And you also added too little memory. We need more memory in these machines. Can you fix that? Uh-huh. And the only thing we need to do is to update this service. And we do that by having the original service and instance, which is defined, and I'm going to show that. And then we make a copy of the service template. And then we apply the updated template to this group. And then we have a new service template, which we apply. And when we apply that, it's going to ask us, would you like to do this now? No, not really. Maybe later on. Well, you can still apply it, and then you just need to activate or perform the action to do it, and you can do that at a later time, which is pretty easy. There are different types of updates. We have regular updates, and we have image-based updates. And this is something you can choose between. In some cases, an image-based update is very, very smart. And in other cases, a regular update is smarter. Let's say that I want to add more memory. There's no point of deploying a new image in that case. I want to add a feature or a function in the OS. There's no need to replace the operating system image. You have created a new reference image for Windows Server 2008 R2 that includes Service Pack 1 and a bunch of critical fixes. Now it makes sense to rip out the operating system and replace the image with another one and put the applications back. So this is what we can see people are doing, because it takes approximately, half an hour to apply Service Pack 1. But it only takes like 25, 30 minutes to replace the OS. It feels very strange the first time you do it. You said, what, rip out the OS? Yeah, yes, you know, put in a new one. Uh-huh, and that's going to work. Well, have you ever had a failed Service Pack installation in your lifetime? I bet you had. I have had many of these, and most of them are me and four guys from China that have exactly the same problem when I Google for it. If I do Bing, I don't find anything. When I call support, they have never heard of this, and I'm the first one on the planet. And it's like, hey, I'm spending hours and hours on, you know, ridiculous stuff. It's faster to just wipe and load. We'd never done this with operating system before, but since we have AppV for server, it actually works, because that's going to save state. So we can do this. Doesn't mean that you should do that for everything from now on. But, you know, please try it first, right? But you need to make a decision here. Either you do it the one way or you do it the other way. Yeah, interesting here is moving from Windows Server 2008 to R2. I mean, that's a pretty big difference. Yeah, just rip out the old one and put in a new one. Are you sure my app will work? Yeah, we tested it. Just, you know, change. Is that going to work with the next version of Windows? Hope so. That's going to be really awesome. If it works, they're going to make sure it works. So we have all these steps that goes through. You select the way you're going to do. There's something called machine-based on upgrade domain. You need to remove it from the load balancer. We have the capability of adding our own code here if we would like to do that. It goes on, and you can add your own code again. And then you have an install application, and you have an install application. And before each of these steps, prior and after, you can add your own, run this whatever VB script or CMD or batch file or PowerShell script or whatever you like to run. And when it's done, it's going to add it back to the load balancer if you have one, and then you're done. Which is pretty convenient. If you select the other image-based updating, well, in case of image-based, well, we do the same. We remove it. We add data disk to the machine. And we store data. We store the user state, or machine state, actually, to another drive. We swap the OS drive, customize the new operating system, so it's actually a new install, and install the application, and restore the unique data that we had. So we're going to restore the old application. We're going to install the old application, but we're going to restore the unique data that that server actually had. So every changes that has been done on that machine is going to go back to the machine. And we have a couple of points where you can put in your own code if you like to do that. And going to add, and it's going to be done. So these are the two methods. The image-based, I haven't really used it for real, since most of my machines today run 2008 R2 Service Pack 1, so I didn't really try that. I have a couple of machines running 2008, but those applications are not packaged at all. The developer that created them doesn't work for us anymore, of course, and we don't know his phone number or email address either. So they are just, don't touch. But I will use this method when the next operating system comes. I trust you that. You want to see this? It's pretty cool. You don't have an option. You want to see it anyway. Well, it's still creating a machine. It's almost done. It's pretty good for a laptop to deploy a server in, 5-10 minutes. So let's pick up another service we have. Go to the library. We have something called a tiny service template. Tiny service is actually something that runs right now. And let's see, here's tiny service. Tiny service is this. Tiny service is two servers that runs Telnet server. Two Telnet servers. You can connect to them and type directory, for instance, and then you get an answer back. Pretty much pointless servers. That's what they do. Now I want to add something to those machines. I want to change something in those machines. And I don't do it on the VM. I do it in the library on the template by copy that. And then I get a new one. Here it is. I open it in designer view. And here it is. And then let's open this, go properties, and say, application OS configuration features. We want to add something extremely important, like simple TCP/IP. Anybody install that? Anybody knows what it is? It's pretty fun when I do training. People say, yes, it has something to do with TCP/IP. Not really. Most fun part with that is it contains a quote of the day server. So you can use a Telnet client to ask for quote of the day. And then you get a couple of quotes from famous people back. That's what it's contained. Besides that, it also have the character generator. It's a bunch of stuff that needs to be in to fulfill a couple of RFCs. Never ever install that on a production server, which I'm doing right now. This is just a demo, so I'm fine. So I modify that, and maybe I also want to modify the amount of memory. Then in that case, I go to a hardware configuration and say, you know, that's not enough. I need to add more memory or anything like that. When I'm done, I'm saving this, and I exit. Here's the release. If I go to properties, it says copy of version 3. Well, this is actually version 4 now. And I press OK. I go back to my original template, Tiny Service. And then I go to Tiny Service and say set template. And now it gives me a list. And you can see it needs to have the same name, and you need to be very, very accurate about, instead of having it named as copy of version 3, then it's going to be copy version 3, then it's going to be copy of version 3. Is it version 3 or just a copy of it? It doesn't do this automatically. You need to type it in. I apply this. I do next. And next. And here is the option you have between maintenance of the existing machines or deploy new machines using image-based servicing. This is conventional, and I will not apply this immediately. I will go through the wizard first. And then we're going to see what happens when we say this. Apply template. And if we are fast, performing servicing on imaging. And what you can see here, it's performing servicing, and it's doing a differential of these settings, and then it's going to go into the machines using the guest agent and actually use DISM to add these features, and then it's done. Well, now it's only one server, so it's not a big thing. I can do this manually, of course, but this way I don't need to log on to the virtual machines, right? Otherwise, I need to log on to them to add a component with inside the operating system. And some cases it needs to restart, and some cases it doesn't. What if you have an application that scales out to 45 VMs? Well, this is just 4 or 5 clicks, 45 machine, that's a project. Then you need a project leader or a project manager, and then it's never going to be finished. Because it's going to be meetings and impacts and discussions and security and... Oh. Had those meetings? Isn't they funny? Are you sure on this? No, I'm just, guessing. I'm lying, whatever. That's the way we do this. If this was something that enforced this machine to reboot, they will reboot. That's why you can have them in tiers, in different domain tiers, and say, well, this is one group and this is another group. Please just service one group at a time. So the service will still service our customers. So you don't really need to know about this either. I didn't divide these because they are only one tiers anyway. It was really nice, wasn't it? Have you seen this before? Anyone? Anyone tried it at home? Don't try this at home. Okay. It doesn't work with home server or Xbox. Would be nice if it worked with Xbox. Yeah. Apply more memory. Thank you. Install more games. Yes, absolutely. So the service level refresher is something that gives you all this information. And it constantly monitors your machine. So this service, if you turn one machine off, it will actually monitor the service itself. So it's a, it's, it's not really Operation Manager inside, but some kind of monitoring. This service contained is built on the following servers, and you actually turn one off, which means that, you know, the service itself is not really accurate. If you remove a server, it's going to be annoyed, angry, and everything is going to turn into red. And then you have the option to replace the server. You said, you know, you're missing the database server. Yeah, I know, I throw it in the, you know, in the bin. Sorry. Well, you can just add one, because you're allowed to have one SQL server in this service, so you just add the database. But what about the data? Yeah, guess what? It's lost. But still, you have the database server exactly as it was from the beginning. Well, then the data is gone. Yeah, do you have a backup? No, we don't do backups anymore. Everything is virtualized. Then we don't need to do that. And you can all do all these things too. So instead of going into each and every virtual machine to start and stop and move and do things, you can do this on the service level and say, you know, stop this service. Delete this service. That's a powerful command, right? Delete the business logic for this company. Click. It's gone. Oops. I'm sorry. Then you run. You can also scale out, which is pretty easy. I'm going to show you that too. And you can, of course, on the VM level actions do normal things like cloning and deploying and everything that we could do before. Together with Operation Manager, which I'm not going to show you, because that demo blow up totally. You can see all this, of course, and you can use this to verify that everything is correct, and you can see everything as e-service, of course. But you're going to see the scale out. Let's do scale out. Oh, this is fun. Here's the tiny server thingy. Scale out. A warning, this tier already contains the specified maximum number of virtual machines. Okay. And then you give it a new name. And here, it doesn't inherit the name. Here, you really need to type in the name. New machine. Demo 2. And it's going to tell me which host to run this on, and I do next, and configure settings, and so on. And that machine is going to be a copy of the other machines, right? So it's pretty easy to just add machines. Now, the warning is because the template says only 2 is allowed. You can, of course, open the service template, modify that, and apply that as a modification to that service, and then you can add more machines without having the warning. It's only a warning, so it's kind of whatever. So the question is this the load balancer? Well, if you do have a load balancer, that's going to be a part of this. I don't have a load balancer on my laptop, but if I had one, that will be a part of the service, right? So it will automatically fix the load balancing for you if you have configured it correctly. Yes? No, it's okay.
Actually, tomorrow, 5:30, and Friday, 1:30, I'll be speaking about SCVMM and network and storage connectivity. So if you are interested in network and load balancing, so come to my session.
Perfect.
Sorry.
Thank you so much. No, it's fine. It's okay. Of course, you can also import and export these, which is not that hard. And it's pretty neat, especially when you have a demo environment or a test environment. Well, you have all this. Yeah, it's like export, okay. Point to somewhere, like, I don't know, here. okay. Done. And now, of course, I can import them if I want to do that too. So that's not really advanced, but it's very convenient. So I think we covered most of this. There are a couple of other sessions, though. We have the deployment planning and upgrading, fabric lifecycle, hybrid cloud management. That's a fun one. And the understanding server app sequencing. So the VIR 314 is something I can really encourage you to go to. Your session is on the list.
316.
212. And 212, yes. So if you're into virtual machine management, I mean, it's a major release, right? A lot of things are happening, and Microsoft is still trying to figure out what they've done. Hopefully something good. But there are a lot of things that happens, and now is the time to learn all this. If you want to play with this home, you want to try multi-tier applications, well, don't build one because it's going to take you forever to do that. Instead, find this. Documents, events, Australia. And here is the deploy Pet Shop 3-tier application using VMM 2012. It's pre-manufactured code, databases, VHDs, scripts, command lines, everything is done, right? The only thing you need to do is download, unpack, put it in the library, and read through this. Now, there is one thing that many people do wrong here. First of all, they don't create a template for each machine. I would recommend you to do that because it's easier when you're trying to learn how it works, right? But it's not crucial. The crucial part is this. Let's go here. Yeah, here it is. It doesn't really tell you you need a space before /Q. But you need that. Otherwise, the command doesn't work, which means it doesn't install the AppV sequencer application, it doesn't install the agents, so everything just takes forever, and then it says, didn't work, sorry. You don't really want to troubleshoot that. So that is the only small thing. So if you remember that, you need to have a space in the first line on every command, then everything works. It takes a couple of hours to do this. It's worth every minute because you will see how it works when you're done. You remember this? And this is actually built for the beta version. So for the public beta version that you can download, these components are built and designed for. So it works out of the box. Nothing fancy at all. So one last thing is this. When you create these bigger templates, they look like this. And in these, for instance, in the web tier application, new release. Sorry, not going to do that. In these, we have the pre-install script. Here is what you do. You define the executable. You define the parameters. You can see I have a space. And then you define what script package is going to be run. Well, what is a script package? Well, a script package is actually a folder with some code in it, and you pick the right one depending on your operating system. So if we go into the file system, I mean, is this really advanced? No, it's not. Here's the apps, for instance. And this is .NET framework code. And here's the scripts. For instance, here's the SQL script, which is a batch file. So you can modify these if you like to, tweak them, add some logging logic to them if you don't find this logic good enough. There are some logic around logging built in. You find that under advanced. Here's where you tell it to. Write an application log, an error log, and here's match exit codes. 1641, 3010, 3011. But as you can see, match exit code, match any value other than zero. And that's going to generate an error, which means it works. So in the reality, you maybe want to switch this into another setting because zero is kind of perfect. But that's how you add those things. If you check the other one with the SQL Server database, for instance, it looks pretty much the same. Here in the application, we install all the applications, the data applications, and then we have the SQL Server, which is a sysprepped SQL Server. Now, sysprepping SQL Server works on the R2 version of SQL Server. Don't try another version because it doesn't work. And here's where you defined instance name, instance ID, for instance, and the configuration around this. Nothing fancy at all. Remember to, when you deploy the SQL Server in this case, you need to have a VHD that includes C:\SQL Server evaluation. And if you want to do this for production, you can more or less take a copy of everything here and replace the evals with another one that is the proper one and have a decent working R2 VHD file, and then everything is for production. But since this is built in the way it's built, it doesn't matter if it's evals because they will be newly deployed and you have a trial period of 240 days on the operating system and 180 days on the SQL database. So it works even if it's trial versions. You're not supposed to run this in production. But it's a very good sample that you can, you know, just download, make it work, and you will see how this works. So, pretty much done for today. Questions? And before we take questions, please fill out the eval form. This is my first time here in Australia. Never been here before. And Microsoft was so kind to pay the air ticket and the hotel, and I would like to come back. It's very easy. And the only way to make me come back, if you want to see me here again, is to fill out the eval, which is a nice eval. Otherwise, I will never come back anyway. But that's up to you. Any questions? If you don't have any questions in public, I will be here for 1.5 weeks, and I will be at the conference a complete day tomorrow, and I will stay here for the next 30 hours. So please come forward and ask me questions directly. Thank you so much for coming to this session.